You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
As Kendra shared, we had the opportunity to go to Atlanta, Georgia this past week for the Catalyst Conference, and a number of you have been with us over the years as we've taken groups there, and we're trying to decide whether this is our 6th or 7th or 8th time there, but it's always encouraging. It's such a powerful time to just to be fed, and you know, I hope you know what it's like to be fed, but sometimes as the one doing the feeding, it's kind of nice to get some of that too, so... But it was a great week, and because of that, I prepared a video to share with you this morning, and it ties in. Actually, it wasn't even related to going away to Catalyst, but tying into this series of Not On My Watch. But I kind of got so charged up over this past weekend that I'm going to teach for a little bit. And we've got some time, so it's okay. But I wanted to set up what we're going to be talking about and what you're going to see in this video with a couple of things. I want to talk about this idea of being dressed for the occasion. And you know, you've probably been somewhere where maybe you felt overdressed or underdressed for an event, for something that you were supposed to be a part of. Maybe not even overdressed or underdressed, but completely missed what you were talking about. For example, maybe you were invited to a dress-up event, a dress-up party. And so you came looking like this. You know, you got all dressed up. But when you got there, you realized that they meant dressed up like this. So that could be a little bit awkward, wearing the wrong outfit for the occasion, and it could make things feel, you know, a little bit uncomfortable. Dude, I've been to spots where you're kind of like, oh man, people are wearing ties, and so you like pull your belt off, and like maybe I'll make that a tie, or you do something silly. He's not here, but you can tell him I said this, and you're like, hey, I know what I'll do. I'll take a shoelace and turn it into a string tie. Whatever, Justin. That's not a real tie. But maybe you were invited. You were invited to the bowl game, and so you dressed up like this. Yes, Penn State. You got your face paint. You've got your hair. You've got, you know, everything like that. But they actually meant this. So instead of wearing the nifty shoes and the swell pants, you got involved in the wrong game. Or maybe perhaps you were invited to a pool party. And so you dressed up for this. You had your swimsuit on. You had, you know, maybe you had a shirt on. I mean, well, if you're a guy, there's no question about it. If you're a lady, you did. But you know, you're all ready to go, and you show up at the pool party, and you found out that this is what they meant. That kind of pool. And so being dressed wrongly, inappropriately, incorrectly for the occasion is a challenging thing. And, wow, I have duplicates of everything. That's cool. There's probably going to be like multiple slides here, but we're going to go to the next thing here. But the idea that we need to change to fit the occasion. If you're going to a dress-up party that is a masquerade event, you know, and I could have grabbed some MC3 pictures, you know. We need a Hero Sunday. Comic-Con comes to MC3. Everybody's dressed up like that. But we also had the red carpet Sunday, where people dressed in tuxedos and suits and ties and formal dresses and gowns. Knowing what it means to dress up, knowing the occasion, means you're going to change to suit the event. And we do this all the time with clothing and with different things. We know that when this is the occasion, we're going to change to suit that event. And I want to suggest to you that when it comes to reaching people for Jesus, we need to be willing to change to fit the occasion. Depending on the person, the culture, the whatever we're trying to reach, we can't say, no, I'm wearing my doctor outfit or my superhero, not really, spandex shirt and cape. It wasn't kind of spandex. It wasn't, anyway, for those of you that were here, you know, you're going to say, I'm staying in this, even though the event is a black tie affair. You know, that you wouldn't do that. You would change. And I would say when it comes to reaching people for Jesus, we need to be willing to do the same thing. And the point this week, if you can find it, because I just realized I think I duplicated everything, is that on my watch, I will risk to reach out. And as Kara shared, with the fifth Sunday coming up at the end of this month, we're going to be here in the evening from 5 to 8. You can show up at any time, probably not after 7, because you'll need about an hour or so to go through these different stations. But we're going to look at each of these I will commitments. And this week's, of course, being I will risk to reach out. And we need to be willing to change, to take risks to reach people. And that, frankly, is what MC3 is, you know, one of the main, well, as we'll see in a moment, one of the main values that MC3 was founded upon. This idea of saying we're willing to do things differently. We're willing to risk. We're willing to change to suit the occasion, because sometimes the way church has been done in America doesn't always reach the same people. You know, and just for example, you know, you don't go to a Mexican restaurant expecting to get Italian food, because it's a Mexican restaurant. And when we are trying to reach people for Jesus, we can't say, we're going to make you fit into this church mold so that we can tell you about Jesus. No, we need to change if we're going to reach them. And you're going to hear more about that in a moment. But as I said, this series kind of is going through these different values of the church and saying, you know, I'm going to step up. This isn't about you. This isn't about Sean, the leadership. This is about me. On my watch, I'm going to do this. And I am going to risk to reach out. And this week you're going to have a chance to really put some feet to that in your prime groups as you chew on this idea of saying, what does that look like for you? Not for the church, but you. What does it mean to take a risk to reach someone? So you have a chance to talk more about that. But this idea of saying, this is my responsibility. And the core value that this week we're talking about is a value. And again, these core values are our guide rails. We have this C3 process that determines why we do this. Is our discipleship process, and we'll come back to that again next week. You've heard enough about it already. But the core values are sort of the guardrails. They're kind of what keeps us in check as far as staying true to the C3 process: community, congregation, caring. And the core value we're looking at this week is differently. And this is a real word, so it's a real word there. This is what it says. This is what our website, our definition of differently, what this value means. It says change. Differently. Change. Sometimes it takes different methods to reach people far from God. So we value taking risks by looking at things differently. And sometimes when you take a risk, you will fail. And we are okay with failure. Failure, you know, if we keep failing and saying, hey, look, that was a miserable failure, let's do it again. Maybe not that. That's the definition of insanity. But maybe we say, okay, you know what? That didn't work. Let's try something different, because we want to try to reach people for Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at this idea of change and this idea of saying, what does it mean? And let me tell you something. Before, when we watch this video in a moment, you're going to hear more about this. But we are a six-year-old church, frankly. Next week, we'll be 6 years old. 6 years old. And if you look at churches in America, if you look at churches in Mifflin County, we're a fairly young church. And I'm not talking about the age of the people in the church, which we probably are that too. But we have a fear. There is my fear, and I want to just break this to you. I want to break this through you now. Is that if we don't want to be a church that's a 50-year-old church not reaching people for Jesus, we need to be willing to change. And the things that we're doing now are going to have to change. Not the process that Christ... God has called the church to. We're still going to be reaching people. But the way those things look is going to need to change. And so, who knows, someday, you know, we've joked about this before with some of our prime group leaders, you know, maybe small groups aren't going to be the way to do it. Maybe it's going to be like some sort of virtual reality thing. Or maybe it's like, hey, we want to help families grow in the relationship. We're going to give them a pack with objects to do. And then we might have to say, you know what? What if we were more effective in using, like, technology and an app to do that? Change. We need to be willing to change, or we're going to get stuck. And so I want this to be a value from the outset, saying we're going to change. And if we get to the point of saying, well, that's not how we've done it before, then you're dead. Then we're dead. So we're going to watch this video. It's by Craig Rochelle. If you were here 2 years ago, 3 years ago for the IMMC3 series, in our prime groups, we went through the IT video series over the course of IT, and you'll see what IT is in a moment, over the course of the 8 weeks of that series. And you saw in that, I'm just telling you ahead of time, you saw a portion of this in that. So if you're like, hey, I've seen this before, you have. it's probably true. But this is about a half hour video where Craig Rochelle is talking. He's at the Willow Creek Leadership Conference, and he's sharing with church people about the importance of change, the importance of willing to take a risk. And you'll hear a few other things that he says here that we actually talked about last week a little bit. So I'm going to let him take it away and talk about this idea of change, of doing things differently, of taking risks to reach people. And then I'll come up and maybe put some practical things for us on that, hopefully. So go ahead and watch this video. So as we talk about this idea of risk and differently and this idea of on my watch, I will risk to reach out. And I know that last point of the fourth thing he was talking about churches with it, he said about church leaders, but don't make that about this. Make it not on my watch, because you are all involved in ministries at MC3. And most of you are. And if you're not, then get involved. But this idea of saying, what does it look like in you? I mean, how are you being what God wants you to be and how that will grow? And he's talking about all sorts of stuff and many of those things you probably have heard before. Obviously, Acts 2, 42 to 47, we kind of have an opinion about that passage here at MC3. But this idea of taking risks, and he said, if you wanted to reach people that no one else is reaching, you can't do it. Other people are doing it. And I want you to just kind of, today is more of a, here's why we at MC3 do some of the things we do. During your prime groups this week, it's going to be an opportunity for you to take, what are the steps that you need to take to reach that neighbor, to reach that coworker, to reach that person in your family that you're not willing to do because of kind of holding back. But there are some things that we do that are on purpose. He talked about five things, and interestingly enough, when I heard this video last week, I'm like, wow, we do those five things too. And not because we're imitating them, because he talked about that too, but just that saying, we want to do what matters, and we want to do those things well, and we're not going to do what everyone else is doing, and there's reasons we don't do other things. And there's nothing wrong with those other things, because older people, if I can just be a little bit narrow-minded here, older people that wear suits and ties need Jesus too. And I don't want us to miss that. I don't want to be like, hey, you need to be young like us. No, I'm not saying that. And 40-year-olds who can't play softball for more than one game without hurting themselves need Jesus. And so we're saying, what is our target? And we're obviously trying to reach people that don't go to church. We're trying to reach people that are not already, and many of you, that's your story. Or at least maybe you went as a kid but left. We're not trying to reach people from other churches. We don't need to. We need to reach people that need Jesus, not people that don't. And so therefore, we do things differently. We meet in a garage. We put up with things differently. We don't have some fancy ministries. We have a parking lot that has holes in it. There's just some things that we're committed to and some things we're not committed to. And I want to talk about this idea in the last few minutes here of what it takes to risk to reach out. And so I want to look at, we're going to look at a couple of passages, and I'll be straight up with you. Some of these passages are really long. So perhaps you could write down the text, and we'll turn on the house lights to you guys if you have a paper Bible and you want to follow along and maybe bookmark that. If you have a YouVersion app, certainly that was the guy, that's the church, Life Church, that created YouVersion that we use all the time. But you can go there. But I want to talk about three things that we need to be willing to risk if we're going to reach people. Because we like comfort. We drift towards comfort. It is natural. It's not even necessarily a sinful thing. But if we say, I like it my way, and are unwilling to change, then, if God has called us to do something, and we're unwilling to change, then it becomes sin. And it's this idea of saying, no, I really like my dress-up costume, and I'm unwilling to change to come to your formal event. No, I want to wear my swimsuit to go to this place where we're going to play billiards. Because you might be a pool hall ace with every breath you take. I am convinced that that is the line in that song. You'll hear it as we leave this morning. Somebody says it's different. But anyway, this idea of pool, we change. We change because we need to. And we need to be willing to change to reach people. And it's going to take risks. It's going to take some things that we're like, I don't know. We talked about this with the walking on wire back in August. I'm going to take the risk and step out onto that wire. And so the three things that I just want to challenge us to risk. And again, upstairs in Ignition, your kids are learning the same things about what does it take to reach people for Jesus. And the first thing is that we need to risk personal preference. And I want you to understand something here. Personal preference, there is nothing right or wrong about personal preferences. Okay, there's nothing right or wrong about that. There's nothing whether you like Coke or Pepsi. There's nothing right or wrong about that. Or Mountain Dew or Dr. Pepper. There's nothing right or wrong about liking Penn State or, no, actually, you have to like Penn State. If you like Ohio State or Alabama, you know, there's definitely some issues in there. But no, there's nothing right or wrong about those preferences. They're just preferences. And we need to realize that we each have preferences. But sometimes we're going to have to set those things aside in order to reach people for Jesus. Let me tell you something that I did. 2 weeks ago, I purchased, by choice, and listened to a Garth Brooks album. That was the first time I've ever listened to Garth Brooks by choice, ever in my life. It's been forced upon me because of country music and oh, but why? Because there's some of you, I don't get it, but you like country music. And there's people in our community that like country music. And so if we're going to reach people that like country music, maybe we need to be a little bit of country and a little bit of rock and roll. But this idea of saying we need to get past our personal preferences. And in Romans chapter 14, again, we got some longer passages here. But I want to read through this and kind of summarize what's going on. But Paul is writing to this to followers of Jesus at the church in Rome, a church that he planted. And he's saying in this letter, he says, "Accept those whose faith is weak. Don't judge them where you have differences of opinion." Now, he's saying difference of opinion. Now, understand, he's talking about church people and judging other church people, but the principle applies beyond the walls of the church, too. He said the faith of some people allows them to eat anything, but others eat only vegetables because their faith is weak. People who eat everything must not look down on those who do not, and people who don't eat everything must not judge those who do. God has accepted them, and let's just hold right there. The issue here is not vegetarianism or vegan or anything like that. It's that in the culture, there were meat sometimes were sacrificed to idols. And part of the idolatrous worship was that they would sacrifice to the idols, and then they would eat the meat as part of a meal. And there were some people in that there were followers of Jesus that were like, "I can't do that. I used to be part of that culture, and eating meat now, that really bothers me." And so what he was saying is that there's nothing right or wrong about this, but if you're a non-meat eater, you can't judge those people that eat meat. It's like, it's just meat. It doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you came out of that background, you might need to put aside your personal preference for the sake of someone else. A modern example would be an alcoholic. Someone who has alcoholism, who has struggled with that. That's a very clear, obvious issue. You know, I'm going to say something. Drinking alcohol is not sin. Being drunk absolutely is. So hear me on those two things. Drinking alcohol is not sin. Paul even tells Timothy to do it. It's in the Bible. Being drunk is 100% sin, no matter where you are, no matter the situation, no matter the event, the occasion. So understand those two things. But an alcoholic, if someone struggled with that in their past, and then you say, "Hey, want to come over for a drink?" And there's nothing wrong. You're not planning on getting drunk. You're just going to have a quick drink of something just to hang out. If that person says no, as a follower of Jesus, you can't be like, "Well, I know that I'm free in Jesus, and you're just wrong." Or for that person to say, "Oh, you're drinking? You are so wrong. You are so ungodly." And Paul is saying, no. There's nothing right or wrong about that, but you need to understand that people have different preferences. You need to say, "I'm willing to set aside my preference for the sake of that alcoholic." Because obviously a drink for them is an issue. And that's just kind of one example of what he's saying here. That your differences, don't judge people because they don't have the same opinion of you as you do. It's the same thing about sports. I mean, Dallas, I have a hard time. Because there's just nothing right about the Cowboys. Not that there's anything right about the Giants right now, so I'm just going to be quiet. And I said this because I know Eric's not in the room, so to call me out on it. But you know, they're just preferences. We know that. Music styles, they're preferences. What kind of translation of the Bible you read, they're preferences. What movies you like to watch, they're preferences. And we need to be careful that we don't make our preferences someone else's standard. And we need to say, "No, you know, because you, person outside of this church that needs Jesus, like country music, then I'm going to go like, all right, I got friends in low places. Come and meet them on Sunday morning." You know, like, it's this idea of saying, "I'm willing to do that." And so he goes on, and I'm going to keep reading here quickly. But he says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servants? Whether they are faithful or not is not is their own master's concern. They will be faithful because the Lord has the power to make them faithful. So again, you're not judging God's people. Some people consider one day to be more holy than another. Others think all days are the same. Kind of another example Paul is sharing here. He says, those who think one day is special, do it to honor the Lord. Those who give meat, who eat meat, do it to honor the Lord. They give thanks to God. They who don't eat meat, do it to honor the Lord. They also give thanks to God. He says, preference, we can't use our preference as a standard for what is right or wrong. And we can't do that too. If someone walks in here dressed differently, we can't say, oh no, that's not acceptable for church. And I tell you, I know places where I have been where someone says, you are not accepted here because of what you're wearing, because of how you dress, because of how you smell, because of your tattoos. And again, not to say that we're better than anyone else. I'm not implying that. And we can't let, if someone comes in here dressed in a full suit and tie, we say, have a seat. Welcome to MC3. We're glad that you're here. Because we are putting aside our preferences for other people. We are doing some things musically sometimes that are not our preferences, but we're saying we want to reach people that need Jesus. So we're putting aside our preferences. I need to go faster here. He says, we don't live for ourselves alone. Are we on the next slide here, I think? To the next time. Yeah, we don't live for ourselves alone, and we don't die all by ourselves. If we live, we live to honor the Lord. If we die to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and came back to life. He did this to become the Lord of both the dead and the living. And he says, why do you go on? I'm going to go faster here. Why do you look down on those people? You can't judge them. Then the next slide, he says, let's stop judging another. One more. Let's stop judging one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put anything in your brother's way that would make him trip and fall. And this is a preference thing. It's not sin. He's not saying, hey, don't call out people on their sin. No, we are clearly supposed to call people out on their sin. But if it's a preference thing, why are we making that an obstacle? So let's try to get rid of those barriers. And so sometimes we need to put aside our personal preferences. The things that we like, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, but we're saying, I'm putting this aside because I want to see you come to know Jesus. And that's a risk that you're going to have to take. And we're not going to have time to read the rest of the passage. You can read it in your prime group. So skip to the next thing, things we need to risk, if you can do that. There we go. Okay, so the first thing is personal preference. We need to put aside our personal preferences. And that's going to be risky sometimes. Because honestly, and we joke about sports, we joke about music styles. But there are some things that we kind of hold a little bit deeper that are, if we're judging other people because of that, we're wrong. And we need to be careful that personal preferences don't become stumbling blocks to other people. Someone says, oh, you know, they have an opportunity, but you become the obstacle in their way from coming to Jesus because, well, this is my preference. This is what's right and there's what's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the band. There's nothing wrong with video worship. Do you like the live band better than the video thing? Hopefully. But it's a personal preference. Do we have reasons we do this? Yes. Like, so it's just understanding, setting aside those personal preferences for the sake of reaching people. Number two, we need to risk time-worn traditions. Now, we are a six-year-old church. We don't necessarily have traditions yet, as it were. But there are things that we do that can become traditions. And we actually did make a big change a couple of years ago because there used to be this big Sunday night before Christmas event. If you remember that, we would always have it. It would be the Sunday night before Christmas. And we would spend a lot of time putting prep into it, and the band would practice for hours getting this thing together, and we'd invite people, and it was a lot of people from other churches, same kind of thing that Craig was talking about. But it was a lot of work when Christmas is a few days away. And we said, you know what? It's not worth it. Because it's probably a better thing for our families, our ministry teams, our band, to be able to be with their families during that time. And it wasn't drawing thousands and thousands of people from the community that needed to know Jesus. So we put that aside. And it had become a tradition. People were like, what? But what about Pie-O-Rama? Well, sorry. You have to eat pie on your own. But in Acts chapter 15, we have this story of Paul and Barnabas. And I'll summarize it quickly. I'll read a couple chapters and you just, Billy, you're going to have to fly with me, and you're doing a great job. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, so Paul is sharing the message, he's developing Christ followers, sharing people about Jesus, with people about Jesus. He said, some men from Judea, and Paul and Barnabas are Jewish, some men in Judea arrived and began to teach the believers, unless you are circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, Paul and Barnabas disagree with them, arguing vehemently. And so basically what's going on is that these Jewish people, now the Jewish law required circumcision. And if you don't know what that is, it's an uncomfortable procedure that happens for males. Let's just leave it at that. And there was a reason that was done in the Old Testament. But now we were in the New Testament, and they were saying, well, these people need to follow our tradition. These non-Jewish people, if they're going to start following Jesus, who was Jewish, then they're going to have to start doing this. And Paul and Barnabas are going, no. And then it said, finally, the church decided to send them to Jerusalem, accompanied by some of the local believers, to talk to the apostles and the elders about this question. They said, all right, let's. They sent them to Jerusalem, and the point was, we need to get these guys, get the leaders together, and let's have them chew on this. A little debate, let's discuss what is going to happen. And so they went along the way, and let's see. They arrived in Jerusalem, they reported everything that was going on. Next slide here. So I'll just go. They reported, and they said, yeah, people were saying that they need to be circumcised. So they went on, and then, next slide. And then the elders met together to resolve the issue. After a long discussion, Peter stood up and said, look, we know that we've seen God changing people's hearts, and we've seen that God is changing people's hearts that aren't even Jewish. They aren't like us. They aren't part of our tradition and our way of life, and they're coming to follow Jesus. And so he goes on, and then it says in, why are we adding this extra burden? He said, we don't really like it ourselves, so why are we making them do it? Anyway, he says, everyone listened quietly as they told him about what God had been doing through the Gentiles. Next slide. And then he said, when he had finished, James stood up and said, brothers, listen to me. And he said, Peter basically has told you about what God has been doing among the Gentiles. We know God is working. And by the way, a Gentile means a non-Jewish person. God has been working among these non-Jewish people, and they're coming to follow Jesus. And so then he goes on and says, you know, this is what God has talked about. He knew non-Jewish people will follow Jesus. And his final statement is, and so, my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. James says, look, we need to get these obstacles out of the way. They want to come to God. Why are we adding our traditions and our rules and saying this is the way it has to be? If it's biblical, it has to be. But if it's just one of our traditions, one of the things, well, we've always done it that way. We need to be willing to say, no, I'm going to give up what we've always done for the sake of reaching people for Jesus. And we as a church need to be willing to do that. We need to be willing to get uncomfortable and say, I'm going to give up this tradition. And again, we're only 6 years old. We don't really have traditions yet. But who knows? In 2 or 3 more years, we might say, you know what? It's time to get rid of that. And a lot of you will be like, but we've always done that. And I would say, yeah, we can keep doing that and not reach anybody for Jesus. But we need to be willing to give up our time-worn traditions for the sake of reaching people. And then finally, the last thing here is we need to risk the reality of rejection. Because you might be rejected. And this is where it gets a little more personal. Because, you know, we sometimes don't say what we need to say. There's that coworker and there's that moment where you're like, I really need to say something to them. And we don't, because what if they reject us? There's that person, you have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus or just serve them in some way, and we're like, no, because if I do that, they might say mean things to me. Or they might, you know, I might hurt my friendship, or I just want to be buds. You know, can't we all get along? And sometimes we need to take that risk and just step into it and say, I might be rejected for this, but I know that I need to do this. And the quick summary of what's going on here in Acts chapter 10 is that Peter, he has a bunch of people, and they go to this house of this guy named Cornelius. This is actually before what we just read about with James and Peter in the council in Jerusalem. But they went and met with this guy named Cornelius, who was a non-Jewish person. They went to him. And so in the next slide there, he says, when he gets to their house, Peter says to Cornelius, he says, look, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. Peter was taking this risk and saying, I could be rejected not just by you, but by my own people, because I'm talking to a Gentile. I'm talking to someone that is not a Jewish person. But he says, God has shown me that I shouldn't think of people as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now, why did you send for me? So get this, there's this wall here. Peter could have been like, nope, Gentile, no way. I'm not going to take that step. But he says, I came because God said, and then Cornelius says, basically I was praying in my house and said, you know, God, I want to know you. I don't know who this Jesus is. Tell me more about him. And he says, a man in clothes, a vision came to him and said, look, invite this guy Paul to your house. And so that's what happens. Peter. He invites this guy Peter to his house. And there, the last line there says, I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting for God to hear the message the Lord has given to you. So here's this guy saying, I just God said, call for you to come to my house. And they're basically saying, please, make us followers of Jesus. Tell us about Jesus. We want your Jesus. So it's not like there was even this, like, well, I don't know, convince me. Give me a good argument. Cornelius was ready, and his family. And then that's what the next page, the next slide says, which we're not going to look at right now. But it basically says, we'll leave it there, that they came to follow Jesus and were baptized that day. By the way, baptism next week. Take that step. Maybe that's your step, too. You need to say, I'm going to step out there and say, okay, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to go public about it. But the point being that Peter could have said, no, I don't go there. They could turn me away. We don't associate with those people. But instead, Peter went and said, okay, I'm taking the risk. And Cornelius said, oh, we're ready. Bring it. Give us your Jesus. And the opportunity was right there. If Peter had ignored that, then who knows what would have happened or what Peter would have missed out on, because eventually God would take the message to the Gentiles. But that was the beginning. That was the beginning of us. Unless you're Jewish by heritage, the reason you are a follower of Jesus today is because Peter went to Cornelius' house. Because Peter was willing to take that risk and step out to do that. So those are just three things related to this idea of change, of doing things differently, that we need to risk personal preference, time-worn traditions, and the reality of rejection if we're going to reach people that are far from God. And that's one of the reasons why we do some of the things we do. That's why we don't do some of the things that we don't do. We try to be very intentional, and we've messed up sometimes. We've failed. Was anyone there for the Easter Christmas breakfast? Or Easter Christmas? The Easter Sunday breakfast at the fire hall? Wasn't our most successful event ever. That didn't work. Okay, we won't do that again. But because we're willing to reach, we want to reach people for Jesus. And that's the point. So we need to be willing to change. We need to be willing to do differently. The point being, on my watch, I will risk. Take risks to reach out. I will risk to reach out. So let's pray. And then you guys can get out of here. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for Jesus and for his willingness to die on the cross for us, to take that step even though we didn't deserve it, even though there was nothing about us that there's nothing about death that was comfortable, nothing about becoming a human, leaving your throne in heaven to become a human that was comfortable. But you took those risks for the sake of us. And I pray that you would help us to be willing to put aside our personal preferences, our traditions, and even the risk of rejection, the reality of rejection, for the sake of reaching people for Jesus. Help us not just to do that as a church, but as individual people, with the people around us, that we need to take that step. We need to invite to church. That we need to mention something about Jesus. Not that we need to give a full-blown explanation of the Bible, but maybe just one little step, as we talked about last week. So help us, God, to take those steps, to take those risks, so that we can see people come to know you, know the hope that we have in you, and the life that exists in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray.